Relationships rule. That's my motto. I'm Janice Porter, and I love to share the power of relationship marketing to help grow and impact business. I've grown my business by building and nurturing relationships, and I'd like to help you do the same. Welcome to the Relationships Rule podcast, where connection means everything. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Relationships Rule. Today, my guest is Michelle Vilsack, a celebrity speaker coach, certified elite speaker, and unapologetic champion of bold, messier, more honest voices. She's known for helping athletes, heart-centered entrepreneurs, and thought leaders turn their stories into movements by training them to captivate from the stage, connect with their audience, and convert with authenticity. Michelle is the creator of the Raw Method and the go-to coach for speakers who want to be unforgettable and unstoppable. And in this episode, we'll explore how speaking from a place of authenticity and connection can build trust, drive results, and create meaningful relationships long after the lights go down. So welcome to the show, Michelle.
Thank you, Janice. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure. And Michelle and I haven't known each other that long. We met online in a Zoom room somewhere not long ago, but I understood, and I think that's what perked piqued my curiosity when Michelle mentioned that she was looking for people to have guests on her podcast who she trains and teaches to speak from stages. And I always like to help people do such things and work with young athletes or athletes and young entrepreneurs. So I thought I'd start by talking to Michelle and seeing how she works her magic and go from there. So let's just start with your journey, Michelle. How did you go from health coach and rebel with a cause to coaching high performance speakers and athletes?
I think like a lot of us, whenever we start our business, it's your journey that gets you here. And then people are telling you, you know, especially coaches, right? People are saying, oh, wow, how did you do that? Can you teach me how to do that? And they're asking you for advice. You start helping people. And then you jump in and you think, oh, I'll be a coach, right? Like I'll do this for living. And that's a whole nother tangent. We won't go down, right? But jump in, right? And you think this is going to be great. This is going to be so easy. So that's what happened to me. I had a 20-year, when I was very, very young, I had major digestive issues and just a whole story going there where I had so many food sensitivities. I could only eat 5 things at one point on my list. It was really awful. But then I reversed all that through food and stuff. So people were asking me about it. I became a health coach. And as I became a health coach, kind of going back to what I was saying, I thought, yes, I'm just going to, you know, if you build it, they will come. People are already asking me. Of course, they're going to want to pay me to help them do this. And then you quickly realize that you don't know what you're doing and there's so much noise online. And so really what got me into speaking, I was talking to one of my coaches and I was just getting so frustrated doing all these things that I hated, right? Just spending all day long posting, you know, spamming people in their DMs and hunting people on Facebook and doing all these things that they're like, she's like, you have to be on Facebook and you have to do it this way to be successful. And so that's just, I just bought into a lot of that. Yeah. And finally, I just said in exasperation one day to my coach, also in an opening moment of, I just want to do workshops. I just want to teach people. And I know you're a teacher too, Janice, said that, you know, I just want to teach people. I want to help people. I want to be doing the thing that I came here to do, right, which is teach people what I know. And she just looked at me and she said, why don't you do that then? Oh, yeah, why don't I do that, right? And so that's kind of how the journey began. And then I ended up teaching other people how to be a speaker. Yeah.
And we do learn from our mistakes and from our trial and error. And we have to go through that, I think, in order to be who we want to be. I do believe that. And I think the beauty, though, of the way you started with that naivety that, you know, of doing it and believing somebody else's way was your way and it really wasn't and all of that, I think though your enthusiasm was great. And I think entrepreneurs tend to do that. They just jump out there and do it instead of putting all the ducks in a row first and, you know, trying to plan it forever and nothing happens for so long that you get discouraged. So I admire your enthusiasm and so forth that you had when you started, because I think this is important. I really do. I think that's how we learn.
Yeah. And I think it is a kind of a pattern that we have as entrepreneurs, because I think in those beginning stages, you do have such, like you said, enthusiasm, optimism, you're excited to share. You're really in the lane that you're best suited to be in. And you're so in authenticity about who
That's right.
you are and what you're going to do. And then we jump into the world of business and everybody tells us, oh, yeah, like you need to be on Facebook. You have to be on social media. You have to do this to succeed. The one that I recently overcome lately was you have to learn how to sell. Like you have to be the one that sells your program, right? You can't have anyone else sell your program. That doesn't work. And I was like, but other people are clearly having other people sell their program, right? But anyway, so then I think then we get lost. We lose ourselves because everybody's telling us this
Right.
is what you have to do.
Right.
And you kind of lose yourself. And I always joke that I got my MBA in marketing, right? Because you have to learn how to market and just in sales and all the things. And then we lose ourselves and really you stop being magnetic and you stop being authentic, and then you're working really hard and it's not working because now you're out of alignment, which I think we're going to talk more about with, you know, with your voice and everything. But
right. So let's just, you mentioned selling. So I want to just ask you, you say selling should feel like a party, not a panic attack. And what do you mean by that? And why does that idea resonate with your clients?
Because I love that, because that was what I was experiencing, right? I just felt like I was literally having panic attacks messaging people on Facebook. I'm actually a very, whenever I love people, and when I go to networking events in person, I'm talking to everybody. If you're there, Janice, I'm listening to you. I'm asking you questions. I'm so excited about your thing with you. You know, like I just love meeting people. But whenever it was on Facebook, they're like, you have to go on Facebook and you have to message this many people. And then you want to build the relationship. And then, and it just felt like, well, it was just really inauthentic to me. And I just felt like, oh, I'm here to get something from them. And so it's just, it's that yucky sales feeling. And I was literally having panic attacks that I would just be spending at the end of the day. And I think that's kind of, it's like the extreme way of saying how a lot of heart-centered entrepreneurs and coaches really feel, because again, you came into this to teach people, to help people. And then whenever we hear sales, we feel like, oh, you have to manipulate people in order for them to say yes. And it so feels yucky. And when we can combine that original energy of enthusiasm and excitement with an actual sales like a sales process that works, and you don't have to get out of that energy in order to do it, then people will say yes, because you're both in alignment and you're helping them get the information that they need in order to make the buying decision.
Well, I think part of the disconnect comes though too when we're hungry and when we focus on that, you know, the limited beliefs and also on I need to make this sale. But if you go into the conversation completely curious and just trying to find out about people and not focusing on that, it makes it so much easier, right? And it's funny because I tend to, well, I'll give you an example. I got a LinkedIn message this morning and it had a photo in it of a card that I sent somebody. And she was saying thank you for it. And she was commenting on it for her audience about the value of sending a card. And there were a lot of comments on her post. She had a lot of activity happening and engagement. Now, I haven't done anything with it yet, but my first thought is, oh my goodness, these people are either interested in sending cards and maybe would be interested in my system that I use,
right?
Whatever. But then I back off in my mind and I go, yeah, but I can't sell them. I can't be pushy in the comments that I make. So I have to think about this before I do it. And you know, so there's always this push and pull and sort of like, don't be salesy, be conversationalist, and so on. So if first, I think, is be aware of that, right? You must be aware of that. And second, then you must, it must be a natural kind of thing that happens to make it work.
Yes, because I think it, because yeah, we do have to pay our bills and we have to eat and we have to, you know, there are things that we need to, there's things we need money to live. So I think it is easy to get back, kind of flip-flop and not be as focused on, because really sales happen when you are genuine and you are serving and you are connecting from that really authentic place. But it is hard to get out. I mean, it's hard to kind of stay in that all the time. Like you're saying, you can flip back into, oh my gosh, I don't want to sell them. And with the speaking space, so for me, I realized that sales is actually easy for me when I do it one to many. So like literally I'm saying create a party because just for my personality, and I find for a lot of my clients as well, it doesn't feel like sales when it's party. It doesn't feel like sales whenever you're teaching. And then it takes the pressure off of this one person. I need this one person to say yes.
Yeah.
Because there's 20 people, there's 100 people in the room, and some of these people want what I have, and I'm going to talk to them. And then if they don't like it or they don't want it, they'll leave, and I'll just be sitting here with the people that do want it. And so for me, it opens up, it's just easier. And I find with my clients as well, it's just easier to think about it that way, that there's just some of the audience. But I think that can be applied when you have one-on-one conversations as well.
Yeah. I think so too. All right. So what exactly is the RAW method and how does it help speakers build trust with their audience from the stage?
Yes. So I came up with the RAW method because I love speaking, but I know, and have you been to, but you know, there's a lot of speakers out there. Okay. I'm going to be nice, but you know, there's a lot of speakers out there, but I like to use the analogy of like Tiger Woods. And just because your grandpa's been golfing for 20 years doesn't mean he's Tiger Woods, you know? Right. And so there's you and there's your passion and your energy and how you speak to people and the story that you have. And then there's also skills that you can add on top of that, that are going to take you to a new level where you'll be able to really connect with people and be a master at speaking. And whenever I work with my clients, so many of them want to be on paid stages. They want to be on the big stages. They want to have their own conferences. And you have to be that next level speaker in order to do that, because nobody's going to want to invite you back if you're kind of mediocre speaker.
Right.
But to be a good speaker doesn't mean, okay, you have to do this, that, you know, just like I was having trouble whenever I became a coach. There's not one rote prescription of you have to do it this way. You have to get on Facebook. You have to do cards. You have to speak, right? There's not one way. It's going to be your way. And so the RAW method is just really three principles that I came up with that can really apply to everyone. And honestly, they apply to speaking, but they also apply to relationships as well, to just really help you become your most authentic self on stage in a way that resonates with the audience the deepest. So to give you a quick example, I don't know if you've ever watched The Voice. Yes. So if for any audience members who are listening who don't know, The Voice is a show kind of like America's Got Talent, or they used to have another, you know,
American Idol.
Yeah. So it's a singing competition, but I love watching it because every single singer has a totally different voice, and then they have a totally different genre and a personality. And so people, there'll be rappers and country and folksy and, you know, heavy metal. They've got all kinds of people on there, but the one who wins is the one who is the most confident as themselves, right? The one who really finds who they are and becomes their most authentic self on stage, and then is willing to open up and be confident as that version of themselves. And they also have skills, of course, but like that's the one that wins. It doesn't matter what genre they have or
Right.
how they do it, they're the winners. So a quick rundown of the Raw. It's real. The R stands for real. So being authentically yourself, which we've talked about that a lot already in this conversation, of you just people aren't going to resonate with you if you're off, if you're saying things that don't actually align with you and your values. And I kind of have sub things under here that I talk about in more detail, but it really comes down to, yeah, your values. Are you in alignment with your values and your voice? I recently started taking this DJ training, and you do a lot of emceeing and stuff. And the guy who's training me is this really tall black man with a very deep voice, and he has like this romantic MC voice that
Barry
just
White type
you.
voice, if you know
Yeah,
what that is.
right. And so I was listening to him, but I was realizing this
That's
is
not
not
you.
what I'm going to sound like. Right? His is like the soothing, romantic vibe, really. And mine, as we know, is just like it's more energetic. And I'm just happy and it's party and it's energetic and it's not that. And it's not going back to the voice, it's not bad or good, but it's just who I am. And if I try to be that, it's not gonna resonate with people. So that's the Raw. Audacious, the A is stands for audacious. And by that, I mean courage, having courage to go places that people aren't willing to go, and to be with people. And to sit with them in places that you wouldn't normally go as well. So, for an example, I see speaker a lot of one of the biggest things that holds speakers back from really connecting with their audience, and this is true in relationships, is that vulnerability, right? Of being able to open up. And so they'll be telling their story, and it might be a really traumatic or it might be an incredible, amazing story, but I like to say it's kind of like they're skipping across the water. They're just telling you about what happened, and it was so hard. And I was abused when I was a child, and it was so hard. And then I struggled for a long time with this, and then but they're just giving the overall
Surface kind of.
summary, surface level, instead of going into that moment with you, because the point was you had real struggles and real emotions in those moments, right? And so when I was a health coach, I helped people stop overeating because I struggled with that a lot. And I would, on my events, I would take them back there to that place of at the end of the day, when you just ate that whole entire tub of ice cream and you're sitting there on the kitchen floor. Hiding from your kids because you don't want them to know and you don't want them, right? You feel like you're ashamed and you don't want them to be like you. And you're sitting there and just feeling like a total piece of trash, promising yourself that you're never going to do it again, but you know that tomorrow you're going to wake up and do the same thing. Right. And so I could tell you that story surface level and say, oh yeah, every night I was eating. Or I can take you there and we can feel the emotions that we're on the floor together and you're feeling the shame of trying to hide something from your kids. But just, all of that, it just, that's where the connection really happens and the vulnerability and the trust is built by going there. But you also feel safe there knowing that I know what's going on and then I'm going to bring you back out.
That is an art for sure to do that and be able to do it well. But you know that when you do something like that, you have the audience in the palm of your hand. That's the beauty. You know, that takes me back to a story actually that it's like totally removed from what you were talking about, but I remember this feeling. And it was when I was teaching school, and I had a I think I was teaching third grade at the time, and I read the story to them every day the chapter book, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And I never liked that movie. I only loved the book. And the reason I loved the book was because at the end of every chapter, you had the audience begging for more. And reading aloud was so much fun to kids. And you knew at the end of the chapter, you didn't know what was going to happen to Veronica Salt or Veruca Salt, I mean, or Augustus Gloop. And when he got stuck in the pipe, sorry. And you had them, no, we can't, tomorrow's another day, we'll do the next chapter, but you had them begging for more. And that is such a powerful feeling when you're speaking or reading aloud that it feels really good that you got them to that place, right? And so, yeah, I don't know that I've had that feeling as much when I'm speaking on stage because I'm more nervous when I'm speaking on stage. But I think if I've been doing a workshop or teaching a group of people, then I felt more in control. Oh my God. Sorry. Now I've lost my train of thought. Anyway, okay. So,
Yeah, actually, I have a response to that because
yeah,
it goes
please.
with a W actually, and you said it's
Perfect.
kind of hard to say, but the W is witness, not
Yes.
witness, but witness, and it's actually a real word. I didn't realize, but I'm
Oh,
always,
I didn't either. Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
I know, but I'm always telling my people, you need to be over there with them. You know, you're not. Whenever you talked about being, I'm a little bit embarrassed whenever I'm on stage, but when I'm in a workshop, I feel like I have more control. I think part of it also is because, for people who are nervous on stage, especially when it comes to sales too, you're pitching your products, all of that, it comes from being over here with you instead of over there with them. And what I mean by that is, we're over here in our head. Oh no, am I gonna say the wrong thing? Are they gonna like me? Did I say that right? I said too many times, whatever, people are counting their
Right.
ums, right? It's like, but it's all about you. It's all about you and your worries about what other people are thinking or how you're doing. And so you're over here with yourself. And energetically, whenever we're over there with them, they can tell.
Mom.
And so
Sorry.
that's what I meant. Yeah, I can't hear.
Go ahead.
Okay, so what you were saying, Janice, actually brings us to witness, which is a real word. It's a real word, but I'm always saying that whenever I'm talking to my speakers, I'm always saying, be over there with them. Be with them. Don't be with you. So whenever we're speaking, a lot of times we get nervous because, but it's because we're with us, right?
Oh,
And
that's
we're here.
so, yeah, perfect. Perfect. I get it.
So I'm over here worried about what am I going to say? What are they going to think
Yes.
about me? How, did I say too many times? Are they going to buy all those things? And it's all about you and you're over here with you. And that's when you make all of the mistakes because you're in your head, right? But if
Yes.
you're over there with them, and I think that's why workshops feel better for you. One of the reasons, probably, because
Yes.
you're
Yes.
with them, you're engaging with
Yes.
them, you're over there with them, and the
Yes.
intention is there and your care is there. And whenever that happens, they can tell. And so when you genuinely care about them and you're thinking about them instead of you, they can tell, they can feel it. It comes off in your languaging. And really, I remember recently going to a conference and listening to this amazing woman. She was like she had all the skills. I was like checking them off, taking notes. She was amazing. And she had a really powerful speech as well. But actually, my favorite speaker of that night was not a good speaker. But what he was good at was being with the audience. And you could tell that he just cared about us so much and he responded to the audience. He didn't have his speech prepared very well. Or he didn't have a speech at all, actually. He was just an expert, and then he was there to teach off of the crowd, more like a workshop would be. And I just value that so much, and your audience values it so much because they can tell.
Well, it's funny. I remember, I don't know if I was doing an on in-person or online presentation, but somebody said to me after, I can sure tell that you love your granddaughter so much because you light up when you tell stories about her, right? And it's true. And so when you feel comfortable and you again, are sharing something that you're so passionate about, it works. And you're most comfortable talking about too, right? So yeah, so I notice it most with that. So it's good. It's really good. But you definitely hit the nail on the head when you said, I like that word now, withness, because you need to be with them and not so focused on yourself. And that's true to point. It's funny. My daughter called me yesterday. She's doing a big presentation today as we speak, and I'm thinking good vibes for her, but she's an actress. And I said, she said, I keep stumbling on this piece. She did the intro for me and the wrap up. And I said, it's great, Sarah. I said, you did amazing. She said, but I said, you know, when you get on stage, you'll be fine because that's when you shine. Right. And she does.
Because you're thinking about them and
That's so cool. I don't know though, in my later years, I don't remember things as well as I used to. And so memorizing doesn't work for me. And so I have to feel like I have to talk about something I'm comfortable talking about. So I don't have to worry about that.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
I've worked with several people that have different styles, but I've noticed that, you know, everyone does have different styles. I had someone who would write every single thing out and memorize it all, but it works, because for some people they can also be present even though they haven't memorized. But I'm with you, sometimes I haven't memorized and then it's almost like you're reading it in your head and you're trying
Don't
not
worry.
to mess up, and then you're over here and they can feel it, that
That's
and
right.
instead of okay, here's my outline. And so I teach my people a framework. Here's the framework. Here's the acronyms, or, you know, here's your acronym, or here's the four things that is part of your process. And then this is how you're going to share it, so that people get all the information that they need for a transformation for you. So.
That's good. That's really good. So how do you coach athletes? We talked about athletes when we first met. Athletes are used to performance, but maybe not public speaking. How do you get them to speak in a way that feels authentic and natural? I'm pretty sure what you're going to start by saying, but I'd like to hear from you.
They're actually so fun to work with because they already have a lot of they've already been through a lot of the mindset stuff to get to where they're at. And they understand how to calm their mind and how to have a goal and how to show up and practice. And there's so many amazing skills that they have that really translate over into successful speaking. And not to mention all of their stories and their experiences that come with that journey.
Yeah, so stories I can see them having, but I can also see some of them being very introverted or shy even.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Some of them are. Yeah. And I think with introverts, that actually happens a lot. You know what? I think a lot of great speakers are introverts because of the raw principles, honestly, because they listen better, because they don't talk as much, and because they're used to being with people, they do tend to be really amazing speakers. And so it's just about helping them realize that and keep their focus in the right place. But with speakers specifically, yeah, I just teach them, this is for everyone as well though, to go from whatever you're doing to be a speaker. If you just understand a few skills, then you suddenly go from being a mediocre speaker to an amazing speaker. And with that, I think the structure is very important. Like we talked about, people want to hear things in a certain order that their brain understands them and is easy and digestible. So I'll give you an example. Whenever people, and this is true of any speech, no matter what length it is, when people hear you, the first thing they're thinking is this for me? What's this going to do for me? Right. And so they're looking of what's the topic, what's she talking about, or he, right? And so they really want to hear a story from you that says, here's the transformation, right? Because we're
that
all
happened
looking
to me
for a transformation.
Usually, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, usually it happens to you. It could be any story though, but they just want to, they need the question answered. You know,
is it for me?
Does this apply to me? Does this even apply to me? Do I even care about this? Right.
Yeah.
And if they do, you know, with my story that I shared earlier, I was overeating, right? So if I'm sharing my overeating story and I take you down there, well, I call it the hell, like I take you to hell, right? If I take you to hell with me, you know I know. And if you're struggling with that, you're like, wow, she gets me, she understands. And so then if I tell you, okay, I came back out, now you're like, yes, this is for me because I am struggling with the same thing and I've had the same thoughts and she's made it out. So now I'm leaned in and I want to hear more. So for whatever it is that you help people with, right? You want to answer that question so that they stick with you. And then the next question that they have in their minds is how? How do you do that then, right? And so if you set it up until you're the transformation, and then you want to answer the how of specifically what did you do? And a lot of people in the sales speaking space will say, don't share the how. I don't know if you guys have you ever heard that, where they're like, don't share the what, don't, or just tell them what, don't tell them how. Because if you tell them too many things, they're gonna leave. They're not gonna buy from you. But that's not entirely true because they're not gonna buy from you if they don't know how. They're not gonna wanna listen to you anymore because if the reason they're looking at you and saying and listening to you is because they haven't found the solution yet. And so they're listening to see, have I tried this already? And is it something that I want to try? Does it align with me? Right? Because there's a lot of, when I was going through my health journey, I went plant-based, but a lot of people don't want to go plant-based. They want to keep eating meat. So if I'm going to tell people my how is plant-based, a lot of them are going to leave, right? And they're going to go look for somebody else. So if they want to know how, and then beyond that, the next question you want to answer is it going to work for me? Which there's a lot of other questions depending on what your topic is, but that would be the basic structure. So that's the first thing I'd say that separates you from an average speaker is that you're able to easily walk them through that experience.
And I guess you want to separate them. You want the one, right? You want those that aren't your people to not be around. You want your people to be there. That's really all you're looking for, right? So I think it's worth it to, And then the other piece that you just mentioned about the how, yes, I think we all, not we all, a lot of people live in that fear that if you tell them how to do it, that then they don't need you. I think they need you more once they know and they agree with your how, right?
Right.
Then they want the support and the help and the handholding from you around that.
Well, yes. And there's always going to be some people that want to do it on their own and
Of
they're going to keep
course.
doing it on their own. Those aren't your people.
That's right. That's
I want to do it on my own people. Your
right.
people are the people that say, I really want someone to help me this, and I'm so tired of doing it on my own. And now I've seen her process or his process, and I'm aligning with it. And so, yes, that's the person I want to have help me.
So I think you probably answered my next couple of questions. In your experience, what turns a talk from interesting into unforgettable? And what's the secret sauce for speaker audience connection? So you have in a way, but
Yes.
anything else you want to add to that?
Yeah, I can elaborate a little bit more. So I know we talked in general, be authentic, be vulnerable, connect with people, but there are some specific skill sets that you can learn to do that. One of them, obviously, I've been using the whole time, but one of my favorites is just switching from it's using second person instead of first person. It's as simple as that. So, yes. So instead of saying, and you pay attention from now on when you hear people tell their story, they'll say, I went to the store with my kids and then I bought groceries and then we went in and then I saw my grandma and she was so great and I gave her a hug because I love her and I, right? And they're going on and on and on. And that's when it gets boring. Because they're over there with them and you don't care about them. Okay.
Not yet, for sure.
We as people don't care about other people unless it applies to us in general, right? Whenever you love your granddaughter, you don't care if she's talking about herself all the time. But out there in the world, what's in it for me? That's what they're asking first.
Absolutely.
And so whenever you make it about them and you stop making it about you, that's when people connect. Right. And you'll notice whenever I shared a lot of my stories, I'm like, yeah, when you start your business and You are so excited about it. And you think that if you just build it, they'll come. But then
And
you
we're
realize
sitting there nodding our heads, right? Yeah.
right? And so I've created a common experience or a common emotion. And it's my story that I'm telling you, but it's your story that I'm telling you.
Right.
And so I've pulled you in that way. So we do an exercise with my speakers where I encourage them to not say more than two sentences of I before they switch back to you. And it's actually kind of it takes some practice, but
Sure.
you'll be surprised how much, it's just a total different. It draws you in whenever every time you hear you perk up because it's kind of like hearing your name. Someone's
And
talking.
you don't know you're doing it until somebody points that out, actually. And then, yeah, then you'll hear it all the time. What was I going to say? Oh, so if you're on a stage, and I remember this from the last time I was on a stage, which was quite a while ago, actually, and I was quite nervous before I went out on stage. And it was, there were about, I don't know, a couple thousand people there. And they were some of the people I knew, and I could see some of them in the front rows, right? And it was through me talking on a stage at a Send Out Cards conference about LinkedIn as a tool to use. And I knew my topic, I knew what I was talking about, but there were some pretty professional speakers on stage before me and after me and stuff. And I was like the workshop person kind of thing. Anyway, I do remember for me, and I don't know what I'm curious to know what you do, but I need to make that connection with someone in the audience. I'll actually call their name or I'll say something to give me that connection. What are your thoughts on that?
So I think a couple of things. I know a lot of people say, "Oh, I don't talk to anyone before I get on because you're in the zone and you're trying to,
Yeah.
get your mind straight and you don't want to be taken off of or have somebody say something bad or something like that." But similarly, like most people, we are more responders than we are, I don't know, creators, I guess, where whenever we see someone or having a conversation with someone, that lights us up and that's what conversations are all about, right? You say something and that reminds me about something, and then I'm going, so we're responding off of each other.
Right.
So I do, even before getting on stage, I like to know, you want to know who you're talking to and what are they going through, and having, whether that's the day of or before, just really knowing who is the audience and being
Sure.
able to understand them better. I just recently went to an event, and one of the speakers was a little bit all over the place because he ended up changing his speech at the last minute because he's like,
Ooh.
I didn't know who was here. And then when I got here and I realized who was here, I had to change everything. And he was like changing his slideshow a few minutes before, which is a bit nerve-wracking. So don't do that. Ask who your audience is ahead of time so that you know who you're talking to. But similarly, yes, there's obviously also ways that you can connect with them on stage at calling them out. Have someone come do an example with you. Whenever, if you're big on stage and you call someone on stage, everybody's having that experience as though they're that person and they feel connected. So yeah, there's a lot of call and response and
Things you
things
can
like
do.
that as well.
And I already know storytelling fits into your framework beautifully, and how powerful that can be in relationship building. So, for someone looking to step onto more stages, what's one piece of advice you'd give them to start connecting more powerfully right now?
Yes. Okay, this is the one I always skip. But for most people, I'll challenge them to make 100 videos.
Whoa. Okay.
Yes, because it's really inaction. I'm gonna get back to that here in just a second. But I have a speaker group, and there is a man in that group who is severely disabled. And when you talk to him, it's honestly a little bit hard to understand him because of just his muscle issues and stuff. But he gets paid more as a speaker than 95% of the people in my speaking group because he takes action. right? He reaches out to people. He's asking about getting on stages. He's got his dream and he's taking action on that dream. And I realize the thing that keeps most speakers from getting on stages and having more audiences and selling and all the things that your speaker heart desires is just you taking action. And a lot of times it's because, yeah, you don't know your message or you're not super confident in it. So I don't know. I think we're just waiting to be really good at speaking before we go out there. Or again, you're thinking that if I build it, they'll come, you know, if I just say I'm a speaker somehow, someone's gonna know that I want to speak. So I challenge people to make 100 videos for several reasons, because it forces you to take action. It helps you to be comfortable on camera because you've done it so much. It's like game day tape if we're talking athletes, right? You get to watch the tape back. It gives you a lot of repetition. You're able to share your story over and over and over again and see, and practice IU, practice being vulnerable, practice having your attention on them with the witness. You get to practice all of these things. And if you have the audacity to post those things online, guess what? People are going to start seeing you and noticing you, and they'll see if they resonate with your energy and your message. And some of those will pop off and some of them won't. I know you're a big LinkedIn fan, obviously. So whenever I changed my LinkedIn profile, even when I updated my LinkedIn profile, immediately I had a client contact, I had a future client contact me. And we started a conversation. And, so you being out there taking action is
Yeah,
what's
that's
going to make the
great.
difference. Yeah.
I think that's huge, actually, because I hate being on video. Yeah, and it's funny. Again, it comes back to focusing on different, the wrong thing versus the right thing. I know, because even on here, I'm better on here on Zoom than I am on my phone because there's better filters here. Like, right?
Well, you
That's,
are having to stare at yourself
I know. There is
at
that.
whenever
Yeah,
there's video.
that's
Yeah,
true. But it's okay.
self-confidence.
It's all good. It's good practice. And were you going to say something else? Go ahead.
Well, actually, yeah, I was gonna say, for anyone who feels bad about being on video, I watch my watch me for the next few months, because I did 50, I just restarted this 100 videos challenge. I have a challenge. I can give you the link in the chat, but I restarted mine. And I just did 15 videos in one day. I'm sitting in my mom's backyard with my red t-shirt. I don't even think I have makeup on. And I did 15 videos, and it's gonna be my content for like the next 2 months. But
Fantastic.
I like to do it raw. I mean, that's one of the reasons I say it raw. Like, I like to do it raw because I like to show people that you don't have to have it all together. I want you to feel comfortable. You don't have to look perfect for people to connect with you. Obviously, there's professionalism and all that, but
Course, of course. But
I like
here's
to just throw it out there, kind of half
So
half.
here's the thing. I go to, okay, how long are these videos and what are you talking about in these videos? That's where I go right away. I want to know the details.
How?
I
That's
want the
right.
details, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So actually, I created a quick mini, packet. I have a challenge that I
Okay,
created.
all
It
right,
has some
you'll have to give it
supported
to me.
videos. So if you are interested, it's I'm signaturestages.com/challenge, I believe, is the link. I will get it. Oh,
Yeah,
actually,
you can send it to me.
I'll send you the links, but
Okay,
so don't quote me
that's
on that,
fine.
but I'll send you the links. But
Okay.
whenever you join the challenge, then you get the videos that tell you what do you post, and you get a spreadsheet on how you can track it all, and some tips on speaking and things like that. And then you can join
Well,
the group and you can drop them in
I've
the
done a
group.
30-day challenge, but not a 100-video challenge. So I'll have a look at it for sure.
Yes.
I think
Yes.
that's a great place to wrap up, Michelle, because you've given us a lot of great information and a lot of tips and tools around speaking. And I love it. And I think my audience will too. I think Michelle reminds us that the most powerful stages aren't about performance, they're about presence, truth, and connection. Through her raw method that I think we understand now, she's guiding speakers, coaches, and entrepreneurs to ditch the polished polished scripts and speak with realness, audacity, and withness. Whether you're an athlete stepping into leadership, a coach with a mission, or someone who wants to make a meaningful impact, this conversation is your invitation to show up boldly, lead with authenticity, and build relationships that resonate long after the applause fades. And I love it. I thank you for your time. I thank you for your energy and for your wisdom. And I encourage my audience to find Michelle on her website. Now, I know you have more than one. Where do you want people to go? Signature Stages?
That one's fine. It'll forward you to my
What's the other one? Go ahead.
I have inspirespeakernetwork.com.
Okay. Yeah.
I have several. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Well, we can put whatever you want in the show notes and people can find you there. And I encourage you to check out her 100 video challenge as well, which we're going to put in the show notes, and let us know if you do it for sure. Right. So thank you. Thank you for being here. And to my audience, thank you so much for being loyal listeners. And if you like what you hear, please leave a review. They're always welcome. And remember to stay connected and be remembered. Thanks for joining us. If today's show inspired you to make a new connection, why not start with me? Head over to LinkedIn and connect with me. Be sure to let me know you are a podcast listener, because I select one listener each month who connects with me on LinkedIn for a complimentary profile audit. And you know I love to meet new people, so I hope you take me up on it. Don't forget to stay connected and be remembered.